You are now experiencing the teaching ministry of Pastor Richard Martin of Life Community Church, located in Arlington, Texas.
We have a couple of scriptures. I said that we're going to go through this dynamic of teaching. Our main scripture for our series, The Hunger Games, is John chapter 4, verse 34. And then the scripture says this: Jesus said to them, meaning his disciples, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." This message and this series that we're in is really about the aspect of what it is that we're putting in ourselves as believers. The knowledge of God and the power manifest in our life. Everything that happens in your life as a believer is really based upon your input and your output. What goes in will come out. And our challenge in our lives has been this. We've been filling ourselves with a lot of emotional faith, filling ourselves with a lot of feel good. We talked about this last week. We're having a Twinkie experience. It's good for the moment, but it really doesn't nourish me for me to be able to deal with the things that I'm contending with in life. Something else has to go in me so that I have the ability to give output to deal with my struggles, my challenges, and just the things that happen in life. Can someone say amen to that? What we come to realize from last week is that for us, we have to start with what Jesus always does to his disciples, those who make a claim that follow him. First, he's going to talk to you in a language that you can understand. So in other words, when you're dealing with whatever you're dealing with, God makes it very plain, this is what you're dealing with. You hard-headed. This is what you're dealing with. You're lazy. This is what you're dealing with. You have other things that are the center of your life, and I'm not the center. And many of us, we get aggravated, we get upset, we get emotional because God doesn't necessarily talk to us directly, but then he brings people in our lives to tell us what's really going on with us, and we get upset with them. We don't like what he's saying. The scripture that we referenced last week, John chapter 6, verse 53, Jesus began to speak in a language that the disciples and other Jews would understand in regards to salvation. And he told them that if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you won't have eternal life. And the title of the message last week was, "I ain't eating that." And when God confronts us with what we understand and what we know, and he speaks to us in a language that's very plain in regards to how to get yourself free, too many of us, we respond emotionally to God and what he's saying, and we'll come to the altar and we'll pray and ask God to do something about this situation. And God tells us and references us, I'm not doing anything because it's already done. And I want you to grow. So what's inside of you? He tells us and speaks to us in a language that we can understand. And then secondly, he wants to see who's going to go deeper now. Y'all with me? You know, surface-wise, you got issues. I got issues. But now who's going to go deeper to begin to be honest with yourself in regards to your output? What's really being put out there? What are you showing people? What is the aspect of your life and the example for you that you know God, but you don't really know him? And God says, I know you don't really know me, but are you ready to go deeper to really understand what it is that you have victory over in your life? You ready to go deeper? I'm not making it difficult. I'm just seeing whether or not you're ready to be all that I created you to be. Are you ready to do that? And when presented according to the scripture, when they heard what he said, they said to themselves, Jesus, this is a hard saying. And the Bible says that many of them turned and walked away. And how many times have we gone to church, wherever you've gone to, and not to say that church was a bad place or whatever the case may be, that you heard something that God challenged you to do better and you turned, even though you didn't tell anybody that you turned, you turned and you walked away and you continued to do whatever it is that you were doing. Understanding what Jesus wanted you to do, understanding that he's challenging you to go deeper and stop making excuses for the way that your life is, because he created you brand new. And he did so through salvation. And if you've confessed him, you don't have the right to stay the way that you are. You don't have the right to be broke. You don't have the right to be depressed. You don't have the right to be abused. You don't have the right to be lied to and accept the lie. You don't have the right to keep going through what you're going through and feeling like God has abandoned you when God has always been right there telling you, go deeper, go deeper. You need to be able to hear me. And we talked about the aspect of our hearing. We know what the scripture says in Romans. And speaking of how we build our faith, faith comes by, doesn't come by what you see. The just shall live by, faith comes by, walk by, and not by. So it's not about what you're seeing, because we see a whole lot in us, around us, in people's lives, and that surface. And too many of us as believers, we've been living our lives in faith on the surface, and really has not been faith. Come on, y'all. It's really not been faith. And it's not been because of what we've been feeding ourselves. Feeding ourselves. We're a visual society, so it's what I see. And what I see is what causes me to feel. And what I feel, I act upon what I feel, because what I'm seeing, I want to see that change. And God says the only way that you're going to see something change is by what you're hearing. Because what you see is not the real, is what you hear. And if we're honest with ourselves, many of us have made this confession many times within the house of God. I can't hear God. I don't hear what God is saying, but I see what I see, so I have to react and I have to respond on what I'm seeing. I've got to do something about this because it's bad. It looks bad. Did y'all catch that? All the while, God is saying to you and I, but what are you hearing? So finally, we come to a place where, okay, if God says go deeper, we have a responsibility to do the unexpected. Do different. You know what your normal practice is. When you hear deep things and you hear difficult things and you are experiencing challenging things in your life, and it sees, it visually, it's bad. Look at my checkbook, look at my job, look at my relationships. It's not what I want it to look like. And God says, then what are you hearing? In order to change what you see, you have to begin to hear what God says. Now, that's easy. All right, I'll go to church. I'll start listening to people that I enjoy listening to, and I'll begin to hear the word, and I'll begin to feed myself the word of God. I'm hearing it, but it's still not changing. Things that I see are not changing. Things that I see are not, it's not going the way, actually it's getting worse. Can somebody say amen? Is it just me? God, I'm going to walk by faith in terms of my healing, but this situation has gotten worse. What do I do? I've been hearing your word, but what do I do? What do I do with this? And so today I want to talk about, and the title of our message in this series today is the cleanse, the purge, and the detox. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5 in the Amplified reads this. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical, weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. Insomuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead, I'm going to say this three or four times, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, our Savior. You say amen to that. Listen to me. I love the Word of God. I hear the Word of God. But there's this thing in my life, and it's probably in your life, called a stronghold. Don't get religious on me now. I want to make it plain. each and every one of us, we have two dynamics to this life that we live. We have a spiritual dynamic and we have a physical dynamic. For most of our lives, we've been manifesting and living primarily out of the physical. So we are very familiar, we are very comfortable, we are very knowledgeable in regards to how to, quote, manage life in the physical. When we get saved, our spirit man is rejuvenated, brought back to life. We are born again. But we have to begin to build that spirit man up. We have to feed him so that we can begin to live this life in the duality that God has created us in. We get frustrated because we know there's another part of us that is not quite kicked in, and we want to tap into it, but we're not mature enough yet because of strongholds that are in our lives. And those strongholds, they start and they end in our mind. What we have processed, learned, what we have gained in terms of our knowledge about life, the stronghold is we have to, say this with me, unlearn. Let me get those drinks right now, because I wanna illustrate this, and we're gonna keep it moving because somebody told me I talk too long. I'm playing. Come on, y'all, quickly, come on. I'm on the clock here. All right, well, don't go nowhere. Don't go nowhere. I need your help. All right, so who's thirsty? Who's thirsty? Okay, young lady, come up. Just come to the front of the platform. Ma'am, come up. Brother with the Batman shirt, come up. Who else? I need one more. Yes, sister, come up. Are you a first-time guest? God bless you. Come on. I love first-time guests volunteering. I got four thirsty people here. Sir, I want to give you something to drink because you are thirsty. Y'all ready? Praise God. Take it out. Give me one of those bottles. Hallelujah. Praise God. You're thirsty. I want to give you a drink. Hold that. Praise God. Wait a minute. You thirsty, right? Oh, okay. No, thank you, sir. No, ma'am. She's like, I already backed out. What kind of church is this? Nope. Nobody's thirsty? Not for this. Why not this? It's liquid, it's clear, it's clean, and you're thirsty, and I'm offering it to you. Why don't you want to take it? It has an after effect. What else? How come you didn't take it, Batman? It has alcohol in it, and it will tear your stomach up. Well, who told you that? Science told you that? Why didn't you drink? You just know you didn't want that. Why? Experience. Why did you reject the drink? You tired. Whoa. Alcohol. Tired of it. Give me a high five on that, sis. Okay. Can I have the other drink then? They won't drink what I gave them because of what they think they know. Yeah, give me that one. Yes, sir. Praise God. Will you open that for me? Turn that. Y'all thirsty, right? Are y'all seeing this? It's sticking to the sides of the cup. Will you take some? You will? You know what this is. So even though it's sticking to the sides of the cup, you're willing to drink this. You know it's good for you. How do you know that? Experience. So even though that's clear and clean looking, your experience tells you that's not good for me. And even though this is green and sticking to the side, it kind of looks like baby stuff. You're not concerned about what it looks. How about you, bro? Will you drink this? You ready to drink it now? He's like, yeah. Well, why would you drink it? You know what alcohol is, and you know, so it doesn't matter what it looks like. Your knowledge of what it is what causes you to be able to receive, not what it looks like, right? Okay. How about you, sis? Would you drink this? You would. Okay. Would you do me a favor? Would you go ahead? You go ahead and sip that. Pour some more of that in here. I said sip, and she just. All right. So I know you guys would drink that, and y'all see that I poured that bottle right there, and I hadn't drunk this, so you're good, right? So will you take this? All right, and you will just drink that down. Even though a little bit of toilet water was put in there. So she like, I'm anointed, and came through anointed hands, and so even now that you're knowledgeable of what this is that whole bottle, there was just a touch, not enough to kill you, but just a touch. It's water, but you're willing to. Okay. The last two examples, you guys may be seated. Y'all give them a hand. Let me, y'all can go ahead and clear that. Let me talk to you about the last two examples. The last two examples are us. We are willing for there to be a little bit of something that's not right in our lives, thinking of that little bit won't kill us. And initially, now just FYI, there was no toilet water in there. Yeah, there's no toilet water in there. But too many of us accept things that are not pure, thinking that it's not going to affect me now. Drink enough, input enough of a little bit of impurity each time, you and I will find ourselves not as healthy and not as strong as we should be. You got to understand that the enemy is not going to come at you with a glass full of rubbing alcohol and tell you to drink it. He knows you know enough to know that there are certain things in your life that should not be. But what he will do is he will present something that is close to what you need. And he will challenge you in this. Reason and understand it's not that bad. Reason and understand that the clothes that I'm wearing, it's not that bad, because God knows I'm not sleeping around. And the multitude of things that I could say about things that we compromise when it comes to God trying to take us to another level in relationship with him. And everything that we find ourselves doing, the little taint of things that we say it's okay to do, you have to understand that you have convinced yourself. You have reasoned with yourself. You have created an argument to say, it's all right. God is challenging some of us. Now, and you've got to, this is the relationship aspect. So you've got to come to a place in your relationship with God. What kind of input is going into me that causes me to say things that are not all right that I say is okay? It's okay to be angry because that person really hurt me. When God says, go deeper. Because I want you to be able to take in clear liquid. And you keep convincing yourself by your word, mixed in with my word, that it's okay. God, I know you want me to forgive, but God, I know what you expect of me, but God, I know I should love my wife, but she, and y'all can, y'all see where I'm going, you understand what I'm saying, that there is no room for us to compromise what we are thinking. See, it's not what you're doing that the issue is. Your doing is a result of what you have been. Every action, everything that we see is a result. It is a symptom. It is the ending result of something that you have decided that you're going to do. You have decided that this is how you're going to behave. You have made a decision. You have based it upon a word in your life that you have said that this is how it's got to be. And then you acted upon it. Problem with us in church is that we want to address the symptoms. We don't want to address the root. Ooh, girl, look, you got pregnant. You just sleeping around. Wait a minute. What is the root of that behavior? The root is I may not feel like I'm loved by people. And so I'm seeking somebody who will love me. And this is the best way that I can do it, I'm going to do it. Somebody has been there. Somebody knows that experience, and even in church, nobody was able to get to the root of the problem. And here's the reality of it is, even if nobody could, God was speaking to you in a language that you could understand, and you refused to go deeper. I know what to do, but right now I'm not ready. I know what God expects of me, but right now I've got a lot of things going on, and once I sort those things out, then I'll be ready for God. God, I know what you say about relationship, but I've been in this relationship for so long. I got to stay in it, and I'm going to work it out, and I'm going to believe you, and I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to pray. I'm going to do those things, but I don't, even though I don't know how to pray, because when people ask me to pray, I'm just like, but I'm going to pray, and it's going to come out right, but right now I got to do this. Strongholds. See, we over-spiritualize it, but really what it is it's what we've established and what we've convinced ourselves, not based upon God's word, but somebody else's word. See, listen to me. In Genesis, lady, we're going to roll in a minute. In Genesis, the enemy didn't come to Eve and to just out and out tell her, look, you're not going to die, just eat the fruit and it's going to be okay. He asked her a question about her input. He asked her a question about what was inside of her. Let me see what's inside of you. Did God really say? Did God say? I want to know where your input is. The enemy wants to know where your input is. What's going on inside of you? And if you find yourself changing what God says, he knows now that I can do more changing to you because you did the changing yourself. We're blaming the enemy for so many things, but what he's doing is, listen to me, what he is doing is he's setting himself up in agreement with what is in you. Say that again. We think that he's inputting stuff in us and then he's bringing that out of us, but what it is that what he's looking for, I'm looking to see what's in you, and if I find in you that there's not enough purity in you, if I find that there's some things that you've established that don't line up with what God says, I'm going to set myself up in agreement with what you're saying. See, because the enemy knows where two or three agree on a thing. Y'all gotta understand, this stuff is spiritual. This is not a game. And the enemy, he has to play by the rules. He knows the word. He knows what God has said. He knows that when God says a thing, it is. So what his job is to do is to corrupt God's word and to cause you to compromise, cause confusion, cause an area where you counterfeit God's word. He understands how you've been created. He understands that the power that you have when you open your mouth, it has the ability to change things. And so what he does is he says, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get you to open your mouth about what you believe about you. I'm going to let you be God, and I'm going to set myself up in agreement with you, knowing that you're not really God. And that when you declare that you're depressed, and when you declare that you're broken, when you declare that nothing can change in this situation, I'm stuck, I'm going to agree with you. And then I'm going to do what God says to do. Once you set yourself up with what you say, then you're going to walk in what you say. And see, we've been struggling with what God wants me to do this, and I have to walk in it, but it's so hard. And God is saying it's hard because there can't be two gods in your life. The things taken in are words, things that we've convinced ourselves. It creates a toxic environment. Even if it's just a touch of something within the word of God, which is pure, it creates a toxic environment in which we use to respond to the outside world. If we have to have a greater input of God's word to cleanse out the impurities, to cleanse out the convincing of ourselves that what we think is so. To cleanse out of ourselves the dynamics of us believing that what we say and what we say alone is what it's going to be, when that right only belongs to God. The real battle, the real contention, the real challenge, and many of us will sit here and we'll say, I've heard that and I understand that, but it begins and it ends with what's in your mind. What's in your mind? When you and I got saved, our spirit was reborn, and our spirit is in tune and in fact desiring and hungering after the purity of the word. And then there's this middle area. There's this matrix area. There's this area where you can operate either in the spirit or in the flesh. And that area is called our heart. The heart of us, the heart of the man, the inner man. Let me give y'all some scripture just so y'all know I'm not making this up. Paul says in Romans chapter 7, verse 21, he says, so I find this law at work in me. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, or in my heart, or in my mind, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me. Where? In the same place, in my mind. Waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man am I. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I find in my mind I am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature a slave to the law of sin. Paul is not confused here. He's saying in the same area, in this limbo area, there's this dynamic where in my mind I know I'm supposed to be doing right, but there's something else that's there that's saying, no, do this. In the same area where I'm rejoicing and I'm in my mind, I'm wanting to do what God wants me to do. In that same place you don't really want to do the God thing right now. People are going to think you strange. In my mind, I know that in agreement with my spirit, there's a way that I carry myself so that I will lead myself into a healthy relationship. But in my same mind, my experience says, yo, really? You know, no man is no good. Not one. We come up with our actions based upon our experience. I'm not drinking alcohol. I know what alcohol does. I'm not drinking rubbing alcohol because, number one, I have knowledge enough to know that rubbing alcohol is not for internal use. It's for external use. I just know that. I've been taught that, and in fact, I have probably seen, for some people, you have seen the results of someone ingesting rubbing alcohol. I don't want that experience. Y'all follow me, go deeper. Oh, yeah, I'll drink water. I know water is good for me. I know that it's good, so I'll take it in. I'll take it in. But if there's a taint of something in that water, now you have to think for a minute. Now you have to take pause. Some of y'all didn't really pause. Y'all like, oh, I'm thirsty. But the issue is, if you know that there's something that might harm you, it causes you to pause in your mind. I have to contemplate whether or not this thing is going to harm me, because I'm taking it in. That means that somewhere along the line it's going to find itself in my very being. Follow me. If I keep taking in these taints, those taints are not just surface level stuff. You're taking that in your thinking. You're taking that into your very being. And Paul is saying, man, I'm warring. This is a fight. This is. I'm wrestling with this thing because I know in my mind that there's two things going on. There's two natures going on, and I have to make a decision. Which one am I going to follow? Which one am I going to live by? Paul identifies it very clearly. There's a law. There's something. There's a precedent of information that says this is what will happen if you continue living this way. He said it's a law. And so now I have a decision to make. The Old Testament tells us that when God was presenting to the children of Israel, this is your land or what have you, but you know, you guys have been doing a lot of back and forth. And through Joshua, he says, you know, to choose this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of the Amorites, whether the things that the gods that your forefathers started, or will you follow through with your new experience? I don't know what you're going to choose, what you're going to decide. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Listen, don't get it all twisted. He was not just talking about his household. He was talking about for my lineage and for my line. From this point forward, we're going to make sure that we follow through with God's law. We're going to decide that we're going to follow God. It wasn't no super spiritual, you know, hey, guys walking around, somebody touch their head and they fall out. No, it was a decision that we make, and this is going to carry out through all generations of my family. A decision that we're going to make to be cleansed and clear of taint from the experiences that we've seen in other people's lives and things that they have decided to do that didn't end up well. I'm not going to make up an excuse for myself to say, oh, that's them. That's not going to be me. But I'm going to find out the creator of life. I'm going to find out what he says about this situation. And then I'm going to decide that's how I'm going to live. Why is it quiet in here? We win or lose the battle in our minds because we have a whole lot of toxic things. Over the course of years, little bit by little bit, we've allowed ourselves and we've convinced ourselves, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. And I'm going to say something, baby. And this might cause a handful of you guys not to come back to this place. But I got to say it. That we have convinced ourselves of so many different things that it's okay, that we are afraid to confront young men and young ladies with the way that they are behaving in relationships. We're afraid to confront them because we think that it's not love when we say that's not right. We're afraid. We've allowed the taint so much to have manifest in the house of God that God doesn't move because it's too much toxicity in this place. Y'all help me out with the word. My tongue is not working. It's too toxic in this environment. And when God wants to move, so many of us have so many different mindsets about how so many different things are supposed to go with life outside of what God says, he can't move. Jesus himself said when going to his own place of birth, he said, you know what, in my own home, it seems like it's very difficult to get a miracle done here because people don't believe the word of God. And so we're crying and we're whining and yelling out for God to do something. God, do something. And God says, it's too much poison in you, in your mind. I'm telling you stuff, but you have convinced yourself of other things. You've convinced yourself I can't when I'm able. You've convinced yourself that based upon your experience and so many other people telling you, well, God is not real. You've convinced yourself that I'm not real. And you sit under my word and you hear my word and it quirks your heart and it pierces your mind, your heart, to let you know that it's true. But you're afraid to move because what am I going to do with all this other stuff that I know? I said that we're talking about cleansing, purging, and detoxing. So let me just go and just give you the 2 points. 2 points and then we out. For that person who told me, you talk too much. I'm playing with that person. She knows who she is. 2 points. Y'all ready? Identify the poison. Then reject the poison. Identify the toxicity, the toxic environment in your head. I'm going to get this word eventually. Toxicity. Did I say that right? Toxicity. I got a word for today, and that was not it, but praise God. You got to identify it first. And the identification is not just knowing that it's there, but knowing that it's yours. It's not about just identifying that it's there, something in your mind that is causing you to taint God's word, but you got to own it. You got to own it. You got to recognize this is a problem in my life and I have to get rid of it. It's a problem in my life that I'm frustrated and I'm depressed. It is a problem and it's me. I'm the problem. It's not what mama did. It's not what daddy did or didn't do because he wasn't there. It's not the fact you ain't got no money. It's not you. It's you. It's me. You've got to identify and you've got to make it. It's personal because it's your life. If you die, guess what? They not going with you. They'll walk by your casket and like, Look at her. She's still cheap. Let's keep it real. So when it comes to this walk and our relationship with God, no more making excuses or putting off the toxicity as a cause of someone else doing it. When I offered the alcohol, the rubbing alcohol, when I offered it, it is your choice to take it or not. It was your choice to take it or not. You had to. The enemy is not giving you anything. You're taking based upon what you've been saying. So for the first and foremost, this issue of identifying, first and foremost, Proverbs 4:23 says this, keep your heart, the innermost thinking of you, with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. So the first aspect of identifying, I own it, but I understand that where it is, I've got to protect that area. I've got to protect what I'm hearing, because faith comes by. You have to understand that God is not just talking about and referencing faith from the biblical perspective, but how we operate in our lives. When we have taken something in and we've decided that it is so, we will operate and we will move on that thing that is so, and that's where our faith is placed. Your word or God's word, you're going to move and operate in a dynamic of faith. That's how God created you. You can't do it any other way, and the enemy can't subject you to anything other than what your faith is based on. You're going to move by faith, whether it's the word of God or something else. So Proverbs says, keep your heart. Keep your innermost thinking with all diligence. You listen to me. I know that we listen to a lot of things and we see a lot of things, but it gets to a point where you're going to have to say to yourself, how much of this other stuff am I taking in that I'm beginning to start to believe about relationships and about people or about life? You know, there's some music that I'm going to have to take a pause from for a moment because I'm starting to feel a little bit like this music is telling me. There's some movies that I'm going to have to just take a breather from for a minute. If y'all noticed that here lately, there's been a lot of these weird horror movie things coming out, and they're coming out like during Christmas. I'm like, well, there's a problem here. No, there's not a problem. The enemy is getting us to take in stuff so we convince ourselves that there is really no reverent time during the season. It's all the same. Come on, y'all. Y'all, like I said, I'm going to tell you the truth here. So we have to be diligent. And look, it's there, and you have the freedom to do what you want based upon the decisions that you make with your relationship with God. So this is not about stop listening to that, stop watching that. What I'm saying is, how are you guarding your heart? How are you protecting your mind from some of the crazy things that are starting to perpetuate themselves out there in this world? You may have to take a breather and press pause on the relationship with people that you have because they're telling you things that sound good, but they're not really lining up with what God says. Well, girl, if you love him, and if you want to keep him, I'm going to keep it moving. Luke chapter 6, verse 45, it says this, a good man brings good things out of the good stored in his heart. An evil man brings forth evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. Watch this. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Proverbs 23:7. For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. The heart from the Hebrew is this aspect of the inner man, but it's your thinking, your mind, and your will. It is the aspect of you that decides how we're going to work this faith thing. Are we going to work it by what word we know about what we said, or are we going to work this by the word that God says in regards to the situation? We got to make a decision here. What law am I going to follow through with? Because my life is a life of covenant. And it's a life of principles. And so whose principles am I following? Look, we're going to keep it real. Many of us come from backgrounds in terms of inner city. And there's some principles, some principles in the inner city that you're going to have to follow if you're going to survive. I'm just saying in the natural, there's just certain things that you do and you don't do when you're in the inner city. First of all, you lock all of your locks. I'm saying there are principles that we live by based upon our environment. We are in a new spiritual environment, and there are principles. If you're going to survive, and God doesn't want you to survive, he wants you to have life more abundant. If you're going to have abundant life, you're going to have to grasp hold of God's principles on how this works. This is why we struggle with our finances, because we still battle with the principles that we've established in our own lives. Well, if I got it, then I'll give it. That's a principle. If I got it, then I'll give it. God says, give it and you'll get it. That's all I have to say about that. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 in the 4th and 5th verse on screen. Can we bring that up, ladies? I want y'all to see something here. And I'm coming for a landing in about 20 minutes. For the weapons, I'm going to stop right there for a minute. And if you have your Bibles, highlight this. If you have your phones, highlight it with your phones, your iPad. Highlight the word for the weapons. We're all familiar with the scriptures saying this, that no weapon formed against us. You have to understand that the enemy comes at you but only one way. It's coming for what you think. That's it. The weapon that he uses against you is you. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they're mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. Again, where did I say strongholds were? In your mind. And so things that the things that God gives you to fight against those things that are in those strongholds that have been set up in your mind, you're going to have to familiarize yourself with the weapons. We know we have the word of God, but there's a particular way that you have to use God's word in when you're dealing with various situations that you're thinking about. Like when you're talking about relationship or you're talking about your money, there are different weapons that God gives you that, so you can replace that one weapon that the enemy puts against you in your mind and say, if you give to God, you're going to be broke. If you give to that church, that pastor, just all he's always stayed still. But look at what you have to come to a place in your life where there are things that God gives you, and they're multiple in their existence for you to be able to deal with the strongholds that have been set up in your mind. You, Bill Cosby, you have to do it. Look at your neighbor and say, you have to do it. Scripture says, for the weapons of our warfare are not physical, weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God, for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. That word stronghold, here is the Hebrew definition. Prison set up internally. Prison set up internally. Next verse, next portion of it. Insomuch as we, this is the Amplified. In so much, anybody know what that means? It basically means as much as you apply this, apply what? Refuting arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge. Where is knowledge set up in our lives? In our minds. Y'all come on with me now. Well, I'm almost finished. In so much as we refute. Do anybody know what refute means? It means refute. Can't use a word to define a word. It means we put down argument. We set it aside. We say that that's not true. I know what true is, so I'm not listening to that. Arguments. Where are you arguing at? In your mind. Are you crazy? No. But you do got two things going on there. So the next time somebody asks you, who are you talking to? Don't answer them, because you ain't talking to them. I bet you they leave you alone. Refute arguments and theories. You know, anybody know what a theory is? It's something that you come up with trying to guess at what's true and what's factual. It's something that may or may not be true. So arguments and theories and reasonings, y'all, we know what reasoning is. In other words, it's compromising. It's coming up with, this is, I'm going to do this, and this is the reason why I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this because I love him. I'm going to do this because I need money. I'm going to do this, you know what, because God has not been answering. Lord Jesus. And we all been there, so y'all don't have to just look straight ahead. Because we've all lost the argument at times. We believe the theories at times. And we've convinced ourselves and we've reasoned against God's word. We all did it. Just look straight ahead. And every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. And we lead. God ain't doing nothing right now, y'all. I'm looking for what's in you, says the Lord of God, Lord of hosts. I'm looking for what's in you. I'm looking at what you're doing with the argument. I'm looking at what you're doing with the reasoning and with the theories. This man, that means mean. He's mean, so I have to respond this way. I have to talk bad to him because he don't know how to act. Really? God says, what do I say about the situation? Let's pray for your enemies. Those that do you wrong, don't do evil for evil. Don't do that. God, that does not make sense. I know. But it's a principle that I'm establishing for you to live this in this environment. See, this environment is not toxic, and you can't bring that stuff in here. God, I need you to do some stuff. I'm over here in this environment. And in order for you to operate in this environment, you're going to have to operate the principles that work in this environment. If you don't want to work the principles, that's fine. You stay outside, but I'm over here. I said that God is saying things that cause you, you have to go deeper. We talked about last week the aspect of your ear is a replication of the temple. You have the outer court, you have the inner court, and you have the Holy of Holies, where the presence of God is, by what you hear. But now this is an issue of, now that you know you've been hearing, the question is, what are you going to do with what you're hearing? Because there's another voice going on speaking to you and telling you other things that over the course of your life you've come into agreement with. And the struggle and why it's so hard is because we are used to and we're comfortable with that voice. Keep going, ladies. And we lead every thought. And we lead every thought. How many thoughts? Go back, y'all. And we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the anointed word, our Savior. Go back. We do this based upon the knowledge of God that we have in us. We're able to take these thoughts, every one of them, if they are not lining up with God's principles, we are able to. God has empowered us to take that thought and say, you can't be here. But the only way that you're going to be able to say, you can't be here, is if you're hearing the word of God tell you something that is lining up with his principle. If you don't know God's word based upon these thoughts that are telling you contrary, you will not have victory in your life. Why is it important for us to read the word and listen to the word? And I'm not talking about just being religious. I'm talking from the perspective of my life. Because I have a lot of thoughts about a lot of things. Sometimes, many of us, in our waking moments, we are bombarded with depressing thoughts. Oh my God, it's Monday. Thought. Didn't pay the rent. Thought. Who did I sleep with? Thought. Thought. I got this bill to pay. Thought. My kids. Oh, Lord, my kids. Thought. Who peed the bed? Thought. I want to be healthy, and so what am I going to eat? Thought. I argue with my wife I was wrong, but I really don't feel like saying I'm sorry. Thought. Part two. She was really right. This is really going to be painful. And thought upon thought upon thought upon thought, as we go and we progress in our day, where does God's word fit? To stop all of that for a moment. See, I'm not going to say it's not enough to pray, but if you don't know what you're praying, you're wasting time. If you don't know what God's word says about your day, you're wasting your time. The enemy will sit right there and he will pray with you. And the moment you say amen, he says amen. Now, what you thinking about? I've been there. Have you ever spent time in prayer and the moment you finish, it's just like it didn't even feel like anything? That's because the enemy is right there praying with you. And the moment you finish, because he knows where your faith is, now what you thinking about? So you got to identify those toxic thoughts. What are they? They fit into three categories. You have negative thoughts, You deal with bad circumstances and situations, and you adopt those things as your own. I've been having problems since I was a kid with how people love me, and now I've carried that into my relationship with my husband or my wife, and now it's hard for me to forgive because I've been dealing with that hurt and that pain for so long, and justifiably so. They didn't treat me right. They didn't talk to me right. They called me all kinds of names. I never fit in all of these things, and God says, but I have a new thought for you. Identify that negative thought. Secondly, thoughts of fear. Thoughts that come from fear. I'm afraid of just so many different things because of bad decisions that I've made. How am I going to make it today? I don't have this. I don't have that. And there's nobody in support. I don't know enough people in church. I can't ask people. I'm too prideful. All of these things based upon fearful thoughts. I don't know enough. I don't read. I know I don't read enough. And so I'm afraid that if somebody asks me to pray, then I'm going to look like a fool. But what does God say? Discontented thoughts. Thoughts that say, I've been doing this for so long, and I'm not where I want to be. I've been praying, I've been believing, but I'm still not where I want to be. There's so many things that I could have did, and I should have did, and I didn't do, and there's so many. I should not have got with her. I should not have got with him. I should not have done this. I shouldn't have. I'm discontented. I have these thoughts about what should have been and what could have been and how much I've messed up. And in the midst of that, I've convinced myself that God can't change this. But if you fill yourself with the word of God, you'll find that if God needs to stop time, he'll stop time. If he needs to have an axe handle, an axe head float on water, he'll do the impossible for those that believe. If necessary, in the midst of the storm, he will cause you to walk on water if necessary, because that's the kind of God that we serve. Now, many of us sit here, and I, myself included at times, we say, okay, walking on water, yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. I'm saying to you, if you just get little faith, That's what he said to Peter. Oh, you of little faith. His little faith had him walking on water. So now we got to judge for ourselves. Where is our faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What am I doing with the word that I know when I'm dealing with this issue of discontentment or fear or just bad situations and circumstances that happen? I have to identify what this is so that I can find God's word to give me an answer so that I can start thinking on those things. Instead of thinking on the issues that are poisonous to my life. Finally, you want to deal with this issue of critical thinking. You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You're too white. You're too black. Your hair is not right. You don't have no hair. You don't wear the right sneakers. You don't wear the right clothes. You didn't go to the right school. You have a big head. I mean, you're arrogant. Y'all started looking at people with big heads like, who is he talking to? All of these things that we can identify, this is a part of the cleansing, because God's word does the cleansing. And in that, now watch this. I'm landing now. Second part, the purging part. The purging is you've got to get rid of it. I am not this. I am not that. I am who God says that I am. So but you can't just be saying that frivolously. You've got to know, because your knowing is what tells you don't drink the alcohol. I'm going to say that again because y'all didn't hear that. It's your knowing that says when you're presented with the alcohol, even though it's clear, even though it looks right, that's not something that's good for me, because I know what's good for me. My mama back in the day, and my wife would attest to this, that when I and my brother wouldn't, quote, clean our room, that she would clean it for us. Now, for those of you who don't know my mom is a wonderful woman of God now, but back in the day, He was still working on her. And so many of you young people, you don't clean your room, you get yelled at, and they, you know, parents get on your case, and you kick back and close your door and turn your TV on, and you don't. My mom would take doors off the hinges. And my mom, when she wasn't happy with the clutter and the things that she didn't consider clean, she would allow for myself and my brother to go outside and play basketball. And usually this would happen on a Saturday after the cartoons. She'd be all nice to us. You guys going to go outside? Yes, Mom. We can go outside. Yeah. Did you take care of your stuff? Yes, well, I took care of our stuff. You clean your room? So we'd go out. And we'd come back Saturday. We'd come back right around 3 when the karate movie came on. Some of y'all remember that, right? We come back, and I come in my room, and my room was bare. There was a bed. There was a dresser. There was an art table. But there was nothing on these items. I'd go in my closet where we stuffed most of the stuff, and there was nothing. Y'all not understanding what I'm saying. I had clothes. I was still fly back in the day. I had clothes. I had sneakers. I had things that I wanted that were good for me, and they weren't there. My mom didn't clean. She purged. Thousands of dollars worth of comic books. Not cleaned. Oh, baby, you have underneath your bed. I'm going to put them together. No. Your comic books, see that trash? That's where it is. And don't go in there taking stuff out. Oh, y'all, let's go deeper. It's gone. Forever, ever. It's gone. She didn't just clean. She purged. She got into places that I didn't even know existed that I had stuff in. Cleaned it out and said, now, keep this room in this order, or, stop it, woman, or, in the immortal words of Arnold Schwarzenegger, I'll be back. The lesson for me was that if I'm going to keep things that are important to me, they have to be in order. Listen to me. In the toxic thoughts that we have and things that we contend with, you can't bring those things to order. So when God's word comes in, you can expect for not just the cleansing, but a purge that God says, once I've thrown it away, you can't go back and bring that thought back into this place. So you and I, we have a decision to make. Because in this issue of cleansing and purging and detox, the detox is now me making sure that my system stays clean. You and I have a decision today. Because we're hungry. We're hungry for something different to happen in our lives. We're hungry for change to happen in our lives. We're desiring for God to do something. And God says the environment in which you're living and you're residing in, you're going to have to change your mind about your input, and you're going to have to come over in this place where I am, and you can't bring that stuff with you. You're going to have to lead it into captivity. You're going to have to subject it to the new principles that you live by. I'm not doing it for you. I don't have to. I've empowered you. When you said yes to Jesus, we don't realize how much power that we have. We don't realize how much we can do because we've convinced ourselves in our own minds there's limitations to this. And the Lord says, if you see this mountain, if you say to the mountain, y'all know what it says, right? Do y'all know what it says? What does it say? You say to this mountain, what? Be thou, if y'all gonna speak your old English, be thou removed and be cast into the sea. And what? What else? And believe and shall not doubt that what? What you say, what? Will be, then you will have whatsoever you say. That doesn't sound like limitations. What it sounds like is how much of my word is in you to do the impossible. How much have you input me in you? How much do you think you can take? And how much are you willing to actually exercise this to see whether or not it's actually what it is? Because it is what it is. I'm hungry. Are you? I'm hungry. And I've come to a place where I realize that God, he's all for me. He's got my back, my front, my bottom, my top. And there are times in our lives where, hey, we need God to work a miracle. We're just so toxic. We're paralyzed. But I believe today, many of us, we're not in that paralyzed state, but we have some decisions that we need to make. We're waiting on God to move, and God is saying, I'm not moving. I'm on the throne. And you're seeking and you're searching after me, and you're establishing that I'm speaking to you. Now, what are you going to do? What are you going to do with the power that I've invested in your life? What are you going to do with the ability to go beyond what the normal and natural man who's only operating in half of his life? What are you going to do with what it is that I've given you? Because you're only accountable for what you know. But what you know is so powerful, and you're sleeping on it. All over the building with every head bowed, every eye.
For more information on the teaching ministry of Pastor Rich Martin and Life Community Church, please call us at 817-468-9215 or visit us on the web at www.mylifemycommunity.org.